Good morning, Frontier Church.
Good morning.
Amen. It's great to be here in the house of the Lord. Welcome, everybody. I'm so thankful that you're here today. We are in a series of prayer. I guess we should always be in a series of prayer. Amen. And when we could do something right now is we just take a moment, just take time to pray and do something a little bit crazy. Just reach across to the person next to you. Just take their hand. Let's unite our hearts and spirit, Father, and just give him thanks and just take a moment to pray, Father, one or another, that we are your people. We are when called together in this place, oh God, as the people of God to pronounce and proclaim the name of Jesus in this place, Father. Use us today, oh God. Fill us with your spirit, oh God. And as a church, pour out your spirit that we may love everybody in this church, Father. Love everybody in this city, Lord Jesus. As we hold our hands, Father, we hold each other up in prayer, Father. We thank you for each life that is here today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Amen. Well, I'm Minister John, and I'm on behalf of Pastor Steve, is at an important conference today. Thank you, Pastor Steve, for allowing the opportunity for being here today. Pray for Pastor as he's learning and being refreshed. And as I said, we are in a series of prayer, our own Pentecost, if you will, as we started this 50 days of prayer until the end of December. Pastor Steve has asked us, yes, he's even pleading with us as a body of Christ to make time every day to pray. Frontier Church, we must make time to pray. We're opening the church here Monday through Thursday from noon to 1 o'clock, and we come together in prayer. And if you've been here at all during the week, I can tell you the power of prayer and the presence of God in this place is amazing. Take an extra long lunch and be here for prayer. It will change your life. As the apostles during Pentecost were waiting on fire for the Lord to move, we too, in our 50 days of prayer, are waiting on fire for God to move in this place. And in our praying, we will see the manifestation of God in our midst if we make time to pray. Like our breathing that sustains our physical life, it's our prayer that empowers our spiritual life. And since we are the body of Christ, our individual prayers are important to one another in the body, for we are one in Christ. As much as our prayer sustains our own spirit and our own bodies, they too sustain the body of Christ at Frontier Church. Your prayers matter. You must take time to pray. And like the breath that fills our lungs with life-giving air, so must the Word of God fill our souls with life-giving prayer. Your prayers matter to God, and your prayers matter to your family at Frontier Church. We must take time to pray. Jesus loved his Father and prayed, yea, communicated with his Father often. He prayed and he asked for wisdom and guidance in his earthly ministry. He prayed for others to come to know him as Savior and Lord. He prayed for God that God would protect his disciples from the evil one. And he prayed to strengthen the ministry, their ministry, once he departed from them. He prayed during the day, he prayed during the night, and sometimes he prayed all night. It was important to him. It was a priority. He knew that prayer prepared him to do the will of the Father. Jesus prayed with reverence. Jesus prayed with joy. Jesus prayed with praise. But most of all, Jesus prayed with expectation. He knew the Father heard his prayers and would respond. Therefore, Frontier Church, let us pray like Jesus over these 50 days and expect God to move in our midst with power and with peace. We must make time for prayer. I have seen with my eyes and I have known in my spirit this one thing, that there is power and peace in proclaiming God's promises in prayer. Anybody here today want to have the peace of God in your life? Anybody here today want to have the power of the Spirit of God over your life? Then you must take time to pray. Dear brothers and sisters, as Pastor Steve always gives us a great takeaway for the day, we have one today as well. In a moment on the screen, I'm going to ask us all to say this one thing in one accord. Because what we do individually affects us corporately. And I'm asking that together in unity as the living and breathing body of Christ at Frontier Church, we say this in one accord. We are saying this with one voice in our unified promise to God. It may not be profound, but without it, we cannot reach our full potential as the body of believers at Frontier Church to impact our community and to impact the world for Christ. Here's our takeaway for today. Let's say it together. I will make time to pray. Say it again. I will make time to pray. Everybody, one more time. I will make time to pray. Making time for prayer changes everything. I have to take a moment to thank Pastor Steve for teaching me about the power of prayer. And I thank God for the faith that he gave me to believe his word on prayer and to see its power. And to know its peace. Now, if a middle-aged conservative Baptist from New England can experience anew the power and peace in proclaiming God's promises in prayer, then it's got to be true. It all began when I made a decision to take time to pray. When I studied his word in prayer, when I believed the promises of God in prayer, prayer changed everything. So I'd like to take just a moment and share a story with you. Some of you may know this story, but it all started with prayer. The things I'm about to tell you are the things I never believed could happen to me. And because of that, they wouldn't. But prayer changed that too. There was a time when Pastor was teaching on prayer and I had come up to the altar and I experienced the presence of God and the power of God came upon me and there was a Holy Spirit moved in me and I felt this amazing power of God and this tingling in my left hand. And I really didn't know what to do about it. And that happened a couple more times and every time I prayed, that feeling of power that was in my bones that flowed through my hand, I didn't know what it was. And then one morning someone prayed over me and said, I pray that you would be given the gift of healing. And I went to Pastor Steve and I said, Pastor Steve, what's this all about? What's this power I'm feeling in my hand? And someone prayed for me for healing and I'm not sure what to do about it. And he said, John, you need to go and pray. You need to go and read the Word of God. You need to go and pray about the Spirit of God. I want you to look up every verse on healing. I want you to look up every verse on the Spirit of God. And so I did. I didn't know at that time that I was waiting on fire for the Lord. I didn't know there was must needs of a woman that needed healing in her life. About 4 weeks after that, we were in this series of the gifts and Pastor Steve was talking about believing on the gifts and believing in the power of prayer and knowing who you are in Christ and the authority that's given me and just believe and he will use you. And I said, okay. And I left here that Sunday and on my way home from church, I stopped in a little convenience store that had been a few times and I knew this woman in there. And as I waited in line, she was standing there and I noticed she was in pain. She kept on grimacing. And the Lord spoke to me, pray for that woman. No, just pray. But look, just pray. And I got to the line and she said, you all right? And she looked at me and said, no, I'm so much pain today. And I took that left hand. And I reached out to her and I said, take my hand. She just looked at me and said, okay, and she reached it out, and I said the simple prayer, be healed in the name of Jesus. And man, that power that God had prepared me for in prayer, the power of the Holy Spirit that he'd been preparing me for in prayer flowed, and she said, oh my God, what are you doing? Who are you? Oh my gosh, my pain is gone. Who are you? I saw her for months after that. Her pain never returned. Prayer changed everything. I will never be the same. I want to turn in your Bibles for a second here and open it to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Some of you all know that verse. Let's read it together. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guide your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We must take time to pray. In this text, we see that the prayer brings peace and brings power to guard your hearts and guard your minds in Christ Jesus. Dear brethren at Frontier Church, we have been bought with a great price and must be jealous for everything we have been given in Christ Jesus. Therefore, the things that we think about in Christ, the imaginations of our mind, and the things that we care about in Christ, the intentions of our heart, must be guarded with every resolve of the Spirit in prayer. Only prayer can guard your mind and your heart in Christ Jesus. From the beginning and in the garden, with Adam, God the Father spoke, and he pleads with us now and commands us and desires us to speak to him. He wants us to talk to him and he to us. Yes, he wants us to speak words to him. He wants us to speak aloud to him. He wants us to cry out to him. He does not want us to be silent. He wants us to know what we want. He wants to hear it from our hearts. Just as we read, let your request be known to him. Allow your voice to speak that which is in your heart. Why? Because from the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. If your heart is not overflowing with things to speak about with your God, the God who loves you, the God who provides for you, the God who saved your very soul, then I suggest one thing. You must make time for prayer. God wants us to talk to him. God wants you to know him. He wants you to know his will for him. And he wants you to give you the gift of giving him all the glory when he answers you. For he is most satisfied with us when we most glorify him. God is most glorified when we walk step by step in his will. And you will find that will in one place, in prayer. God knows your heart. But he wants you to know his. Make your request be known to him. You must take time for prayer. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first came to know Christ, and with my mouth I confessed him as my Lord and Savior, I was not silent in that prayer. I didn't care what people thought about that prayer. I didn't hold anything back in that prayer. And in that prayer, I prayed aloud on purpose. I was desperate for his love. I was desperate for his forgiveness. I was desperate for his salvation. I pleaded for mercy. I cried out from the depths of my soul, Father, forgive me. I was not silent in that prayer. I cried out to the Lord from the overflow of my believing heart that Jesus Christ was Lord, that there was no other name in heaven whereby I might be saved. I knew that while I was dead in my trespasses and sins, Christ made me alive. He heard my prayer and delivered me from the power of death. From the shackles of sin, I was set free. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, I was born again. I am a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now that is power. Wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And in that power of that prayer for salvation, I receive the peace of God that passes understanding. That spoken prayer and the promises of God changed everything. Changed my eternity. His grace given to me in that spoken prayer is the only reason I stand before you here today as his child. Yea, his ambassador with power from on high. We must make time to pray. But Minister John, I'm a reserved, quiet man. I'm a man that keep things to myself. Well, my friend, might I suggest a couple of verses. Romans 10, 8 to 10 says this, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message, the very message about the faith that we preach, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Luke 12 says this, I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man confess before the angels of God. Wow, that makes me excited. Now, if there is that kind of power in confessing and declaring Christ in my salvation and that Jesus talks about me before his angels, why would I ever grow so silent and so powerless in my prayer? But that was me. Prayer changed that too. We must take time to pray. One thing I've realized about prayer is this. Prayer is not a self-seeking monologue of my needs, but a God-seeking dialogue about his will, where God's voice and response to mine is the conversation's most essential part. We must speak to God and wait on fire for his response. The more time we kneel before him in our weakness, the more time we will stand for him in his strength. Then, when we are empowered to speak the voice of God from a heart filled with the word of his glory, we will speak the authority of Holy Spirit power. Power enough to heal the lame. Power enough to heal the sick. Power enough to move a mountain. Power enough to boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ whereby men might be saved. And bring peace to all who call on his name. Brothers and sisters, we must make time to pray. We who by the righteousness of Christ and his shed blood have been freely forgiven, that allows us the access to the very throne of God and are able to make requests be made known to the great King of Kings. Yet often we remain silent in our asking. We have not because we ask not. We must take time to pray. Jesus, who forever lives to intercede for us, who being in the form of God did not find it robbery to be equal with God, entered the holy place not made with hands once with his own blood, and tore down the wall of separation for us, and he now appears in God's presence for us and gives us access to the very throne of God. By his stripes we are healed. And we are called a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. But why? So that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. We must make time to pray. And we must take time to pray aloud to God, our Father. We must make time for prayer. As for me, when I wanted to get more from God than just knowing about him, I wanted to know him. I began to write down my prayers. I would read the Psalms and the prophets, and I cried out to God prophet and who cried out to God. And as I began to meditate on the word, I was so inspired in my spirit. I couldn't then and still can't write them down fast enough. The deep things of God being revealed in his spirit. I would write and still write down things for hours, using scriptures throughout the written prayer, even the one that I hope to get to at the end. I soon realized that the depth of what I truly believed about God in my heart of hearts determined the heights of my prayer. And as my heart was enlarged by the majesty of the Almighty God who dwells in unapproachable light, the things of this life grew strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And all I could ever do is cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. Abba, Father, would you just give me today what I need? Just give me some bread. Just keep me from sin today, oh God, and help me forgive others as you have forgiven me." Sure, it takes time. It takes effort because it's spiritual exercise. But the magnitude of the blessings, of the power of a spoken prayer in the will of God and for his glory are countless and almost unspeakable in their grandeur. It's that good. You must make time to pray. Remember Moses? At the beginning of the call upon his life to lead Israel, he was unwilling or unable to even speak to Pharaoh. But then what do we see? We see Moses standing at the Red Sea, and the multitude of people are crying out and complaining in this chaos throughout the whole camp. And what do we see? We see Moses stand and say, "See the salvation of the Lord. And the God of heaven moves the waters, and the people walk through on dry ground." Moses learned to pray. So can you. So can we. We must take time for prayer. So let me ask you this, just as I have to ask myself, when it seems hard to pray, difficulty to pray aloud. Do you not know who you are, O child of the Most High God? Do you not know whose you are, O child of his salvation, the very purchase of Christ? Do you not know the authority given in you, O temple of his life-giving Spirit? If you don't know who you are, if you don't know who you are in God the Father, if you don't know whose you are in Christ the Son, if you don't know the power you have in the Holy Spirit, I implore you to do one thing. You must take time for prayer. All around this room are definitions about prayer and the impact of prayer. But all the great definitions of prayer and all the accolades of the power of prayer and the peace of prayer and all the instructions we have in the scripture about how to pray don't mean a thing unless you do one thing first. You must make time to pray. Dear brothers and sisters at Frontier Church, make no mistake, wherever we are going as a church, as a people of his kingdom, and whoever he has called us to be in this city, in this county, and in this world, there is only one thing that is going to get us there. It's not by boat, or by car, or by sea, or by air, but only by the power and peace of the God's promises in prayer. Therefore, dear brethren, we must no longer remain silent and disobedient in our prayer. As a church, the body of Christ, purchased by the precious blood of Jesus, who gathers here today at 1335 Marshall Drive, we must make time to pray. We must pray on purpose. We must make prayer our priority. And as we pray in the unity of spirit, our God, our Abba Father, will hear his people's cry. He will move the mountains of racism and bigotry and strife from this city and cast them into the sea. He will fill the valleys of our divide and heal our land. We will walk together as the body of Christ for the cause of Christ in this city. And we will see the manifest glory of God come down from heaven on this city. We will see the salvation of God poured out in this city. We will see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven in this city. We will become the largest multicultural church that reaches the lost, serves its community, and experiences the presence of God together in unity. Only if we make time to pray. So all kinds of reasons why we don't pray. All kinds of excuses. Trust me, I've used them all. I won't pray. I can't pray. I shouldn't pray. I don't know how to pray. Just pray. I don't have time. Pray. I think that's the worst one of all. If I have time to watch 3 hours of football. Sorry. I have time to pray. Jesus was a busy man. Anybody would say he's not busy? Road trips? Boat trips? Picnics on the mountain? Feeding fish and bread? Preaching? Teaching in the temple? Healing? All day long, some people brought him. People brought him to be healed. And after that long day of walking, and teaching, and preaching, and healing, and moving. And at the end of the day, he took time to pray. He knew from whence his strength would come. God had called him to preach the gospel. He was going to bring him to another city the next day, and he needed to go to his family father for strength, for purpose, for prayer. He cried out to his heavenly father for guidance. For Jesus' one main goal was to do the will of the Father. God's one main goal for us is to do his will. Not my will be done, but thine, O Lord. You can only know that will in prayer. We must take time to pray. We, your people, come in the name of Jesus and would not dare to come in any other name. O Majesty unspeakable, we know that thou art present with us. And in thy presence is the fullness of our joy. How our souls desire to behold thee, O great Jehovah, the almighty Creator and Elohim. You alone are worthy, O God. You alone are deserving of all our praise. For all that is in heaven and all that is in earth is yours, O God. Even our lives are not our own, for they are hidden in Christ with you, O God. The God of our salvation. Hear us, O Heavenly Father, as we come to you as a people of your pasture, a people whose hearts yearn for you, O God, a people who come to you who have been set free by the blood of thine own Son, Jesus. And by his sacrifice, by faith in him alone, we come boldly as a royal priesthood before your throne of grace to find help in time of need. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, and his righteousness, we proclaim in our unity and the authority we have in his name to do thy will, O God, by the power of the Holy Spirit and for thy glory, O God. We come by grace alone as your church, your holy people, and we cry out to you today, O Lord, thy kingdom come. As we love you, Lord, with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all your strength, let your kingdom come. As men who are to love their wives as Christ to love the church, and as women who are to honor their husbands, let your kingdom come. In the thankfulness for the jobs that we have, may our work be as unto the Lord. O Lord, let thy kingdom come. In the raising of our children and the admonition of the Lord, let thy kingdom come, O God. And in every ministry, may we be found to be your servants only, O Lord. Let thy kingdom come. Strengthen our resolve, dear people of prayer, O God. Give us boldness to speak your gospel to the saving of souls, for the tearing down of strongholds, Lord Jesus. For stronger is he that is in me than is he that is in the world. Send us out, O God, with power into the city for the cause of Christ. Let revival come forth like rain to the city of Leesburg, O God. Fill this temple, fill this city with thy train of thy glory, O thy glory. Let us bring revival to this city today, O God. Let it begin at Frontier Church. Set us on fire for you, O God. Set us ablaze with thy wonder-working power today, O King of glory. O Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hear us, O Lord, and empower us to be a church that blesses and magnifies thy mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. A church who is jealous for the name, O God, of God. A church who is known by your unfailing love, Lord Jesus. A church who is known by the purposeful intentions of our prayer. A church who takes time to pray. Amen.